Before we get started, I want to take a minute to ask for your help. Since 2014, Ascension has been creating free Catholic YouTube videos, podcasts, and articles to help people like you discover the truth and beauty of the Catholic faith. Ascension releases 18 free videos and podcasts every single week and has reached millions of people with the message of God's love. While this content is free to consume, it is not free to make. So to help offset the increasing cost of production, we're asking for financial support to continue bringing this life-changing content to people who are searching for Christ. If you or someone you know has personally benefited from Ascension's work, please consider financially supporting this podcast and this channel. Any amount is truly appreciated and will go towards things like Ascension Presents YouTube channel, The Bible in a Year, and Girlfriends. To make a gift, please visit ascensionpress.com/support or click the link in the description for this show. Again, that's ascensionpress.com/support. And whether you're able to support us financially or not, please keep the entire Ascension team in your prayers. We are definitely praying for you. Girlfriends, episode number 365, 8 Little Ideas for Holy Week. Hello and welcome to Girlfriends. I'm Danielle Bean. I'm a wife and a mom, and I'm on a mission to help you know your worth as a woman so you can find peace, balance, and joy in family living. This week, we are talking about some ideas for Holy Week. It is here, ready or not, here we come. Let's get started. Hey, girlfriend. Thank you so much for being here. It is Holy Week. Here it is. The home stretch. Here we go. Catholic Olympics. It's a good opportunity, though, to kind of take stock of your Lent, see where you are right now, and really step into Holy Week with a plan going forward. And you know what? First of all, I want to encourage you to know that God knows where you are right now. God knows what you're going through, and He knows the obstacles that you face, the struggles you've been through, the things that you are suffering right now. He knows all about it, and He's inviting you into a unique experience of His love this Holy Week, and His mercy, and His compassion. And He wants to show you the value of suffering, the meaning of suffering, and He wants to invite you into that experience with Him in a unique way. So I want to encourage you first and foremost to be open to that, to take stock of where you are right now, but know that it's not a surprise to God. He's not scandalized by where you are right now. And He loves you, and He's calling you into a deeper relationship with Him during the days that lie ahead, right now, heading into Holy Week. But with that in mind, I wanted to share some little ideas. I purposely called them little ideas because I don't have great big plans for you. I'm not going to lay out some scripture plan for you to get through Holy Week, or as great as those things are. Like if you're doing one of those, you know, big programs or something at your church, great. But I'm not going to be that for you this year. That's not me. So I'm just going to share some little ideas, some things, you know, in case you might be stepping into Holy Week thinking, I'm exhausted, or I'm really struggling with this, that, or the other thing, and I've been distracted by these things, and Lent wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And, you know, maybe you're feeling far away from God right now. You're feeling distant. You're feeling disconnected. I really want to encourage you to know the grace that is just lying there for you, waiting for you, that God wants to give you in the days that lie ahead. And there are just little ways that we can avail ourselves of that. So let's talk about some of these little ideas for embracing the spirit of Holy Week. The first one that I want to share with you is to just do a little something more. So, you know, there's this the church tells us the ways that we have to fast and abstain, right? So on Good Friday, you know, you can't eat meat, and you need to fast if you're, what is it, over the age of 14 and not pregnant or nursing, right? Important one for Girlfriends listeners. If you're pregnant or nursing, don't fast. Well, I mean, don't eat too little food is what I mean. You can fast. You can fast from, you know, cookies, or fast from coffee or whatever. But, you know, look for a way to do a little something more than just what's strictly required by the church. So that might mean, you know, taking one of your Lenten penances. Maybe you kept it really well, but maybe there's a way you can go further with it and kind of go deeper with it during the days that lie ahead. It's just a short period of time. We're not talking about 40 days anymore, right? We're just talking about the few days that lie ahead this week where you could maybe fast a little bit more in something. But maybe you weren't perfect about keeping your Lenten penances. Maybe they weren't a good idea for you. Maybe there's something else that God is calling you to do, or maybe he's calling you to recommit to them and, you know, do a better job at what you intended to do during the season of Lent, during Holy Week. It can be as simple as that. Just offer it up and ask God to prepare your heart for Easter and something small like that. And, you know, something you could do as a family, maybe like not watching television, or, you know, if you've got little kids at home, ask for their input. I was always, when my kids were little, I used to love to have these conversations with them around Lent or around Advent. Like, how do you want to observe these days? Like, what makes sense for you? And sometimes I was just pleasantly surprised by like the really great ideas they had, or ones, you know, that kind of opened up to me, let me know like what's going on in their lives and what's important to them. And it really helped me as a mom to kind of know them in that way, having those conversations. And then as your kids grow older, of course you can have those conversations with them. I had a really great conversation with my son Rafe earlier in this Lenten season, just talking about like what we're doing for Lent, and he, you know, sharing some of the ways that it might be difficult and some of the ways that we could help one another, encourage each other in what our commitments were. And so, you know, I would encourage you to talk about it with your family, or talk about it with your husband, or with a good friend, and maybe make a commitment together for something you're going to do during Holy Week. Maybe it is going to be like a greater fast in some way, or, you know, maybe you're not going to eat meat during Holy Week, or maybe you're going to give up coffee, or probably don't give up coffee. Your family probably doesn't want you to give up coffee. But look for something that that does remind me saying that. You know, look for something that's going to be a fast or a penance for you, but not an imposition on other people. Like that's so key, right? Okay, so look for a way that you can do a little something more or give up a little something more. And then read the Bible, okay? We keep talking about this. You want to hear God's word? Read God's word, right? So if you don't have a daily habit of it, then now's the time to start. And just, it's such a rich liturgical season that if you just, you know, read the gospel passages each day during Holy Week, that's enough. You know, just really spend some time each day reading and reflecting on the gospel readings for each day. Or just, you know, reading through, even if you do this all at once at some point in your prayer time, just reading all the way through, you know, the story of Jesus's passion and death. It's just it's a very powerful way to reflect on the goings on of Holy Week. Like, this is what it's all about. Also, you know, of course, you've got podcasts and things that can help you to do that, like listening to the Bible in a Year podcast with Father Mike. You might make a commitment to doing something like that each day, or using an app that helps you to pray or helps you to focus on scripture, or the daily readings, or the Psalms or something like that. But look for a way to read the Bible more during the week that lies ahead, to read God's word, to really read and reflect on the story of Jesus's passion and death, because this is the story of God's love for us, that he gave us his son in this way, and that Jesus willingly gave himself over to the hands of men that would torture him and kill him, that he lay in their hands, bleeding, hung bleeding and dying on the cross out of love for you, out of a deep and personal and intimate love for you, so that our sins might be forgiven. We didn't do anything to deserve this. And Jesus gave himself fully, completely over out of love for us. It's a beautiful time to reflect on that during Holy Week. So look for ways that you can read scripture and just reflect on that love story that God has written for us there in scripture. All right, the third little idea for your Holy Week is to go to confession. some of us avoid this. I get it. We have mixed feelings about confession. But if you're ever going to go, you got to go before Easter, right? Right? You got to go. So find a way to do it. And many times your parish might be making this very easy for you. Many, many parishes will offer extra times for confession during Holy Week or the days leading up to it. And if you're feeling at all uncertain about it, you know, prepare yourself, like get a good examination of conscience, one that you feel comfortable with. There are many different good ones out there. I'm not going to recommend a particular one, but find one that works for you. If there's one, like I've read some before where I'm like, this isn't me. Like, this isn't helping me. Just move on. Find another one, right? Find one that's going to really walk you through the process of really preparing your heart to receive this sacrament. And if you've had a bad experience in confession, I am sorry, and the church is sorry, but don't let that one bad experience of confession hold you back from receiving the grace that God wants to give you in the sacrament right now. He wants to meet you there and give you the grace of healing and mercy and love and forgiveness. He wants to give you those gifts in the sacrament of confession in a very real way. So don't hold yourself back because you've had a bad experience. There are human beings in the church, and sometimes, you know, priests are human beings, and sometimes one of them might just say the wrong thing, even in the context of a sacrament, and that's really unfortunate. But don't let that hold you back from receiving the grace that God wants you to receive. And if you're, you know, feeling hesitant about, like, you know, going randomly, you know, behind a screen, you can always make an appointment with a priest. You know, even if you don't want to go to your parish priest, perhaps you feel shy about doing that, you are allowed to go to another parish and make an appointment with a different priest and just ask to have a time set up where, and I will say, don't try to do this in the thick of Holy Week if you want to make an appointment for confession, because priests are really busy. This is like the, you know, this is, like I said, Catholic Olympics, and they are our athletes, and they're doing a lot this week. So don't look to do that, but you know, before the Triduum, perhaps. And of course, you can go to some of the scheduled times, which many places will offer additional scheduled times. And if you are feeling shy, like sometimes people need to hear that it's okay to go anonymously. It's not only okay, it's canon law that you have a right to an anonymous confession. Right. So if you are, you don't have to feel bad. I think I saw where someone wrote or said once, like, oh, if I don't want to go face to face, or if I don't want to go to my pastor because I'm feeling ashamed of my sins, like that's bad. And I need to get over that. And I need to offer it up, you know, in humiliation and offer it up in penance for my sins and just do it. And that's fine. But it doesn't mean you have to do that, right? So I want you to hear me, because I was a little bit bothered by what that person said, because it's, yes, it is, it's vanity and it's pride and we have shame for our sins, but yes, because they're sins, like shame is attached, right? So it's perfectly normal and human to want to kind of work around that in ways that are very legitimate and perfectly okay to do. It's extra, okay? That's how I'll put it. It's extra if you aren't comfortable receiving the sacrament of reconciliation face to face and you push yourself to do it. That's extra. That's not required. Okay. So you can go to another parish. You can go to a priest that doesn't know you. You can go behind a screen. All of these things are perfectly legitimate. And, you know, I always felt like for me, but also like when I was like teaching my kids to go to confession, like I never wanted someone to feel tempted to not make a good confession because you knew the priest, right? That's a very human thing. Like, oh, this is Father so-and-so. I can't tell him this. Like, you feel like you're telling like your friend across the dinner table or something. But so remembering that and remembering that it's Jesus we meet in confession. If you are hesitant to go to confession, remember that it's Jesus who's inviting you there, and Jesus who meets you in the sacrament, and Jesus who wants to give you specific graces for your state in life. That's what you receive there. Specific graces to overcome those sins that you're going to confess there, real help to overcome those things. And just the peace that comes from the forgiveness that we receive in the sacrament of reconciliation. So get yourself there. Go to confession, bring someone with you, bring your husband with you, bring some kids with you, bring a friend with you, invite somebody. Just get there. Like, no excuses this week, okay? Get yourself to confession. And then related, I recommended this last Holy Week, last year. And I heard from a lot of people about it that weren't familiar with this, but I thought it was, and I could be wrong, but I thought it was actually kind of a tradition within Catholic family life to really clean house during Holy Week. And so I don't know where this came from, but it's been something that I've tended to do. Like on Good Friday, I generally will mop all the floors, you know, and do a real cleaning in my house. It's good to do in preparation if you're going to have guests at Easter, right? But in a way, I've always found it to be a really nice kind of spiritual reflection of what's going on. I mean, a physical reflection of what's going on spiritually, that you're decluttering, you're getting rid of the gunk, right? We're getting rid of our sins. We're going to confession, cleaning house that way, but then really cleaning our houses, whether it's cleaning out a closet or a garage or your family room that really needs to be decluttered, or your bedroom or whatever, getting rid of things that we don't need, giving away things that can benefit other people, getting rid of clothing, books, appliances, whatever. There's just a real refreshment about cleaning out in that way and decluttering in that way. And Holy Week is of course it's work. So it seems an apt time to kind of take on a little bit more work in that way. But like I said, I find that it's like a beautiful physical mirror of a spiritual reality of something that we're called to do during Holy Week. So look for a way to clean up. And, you know, if nothing else, just like clean out like one drawer in your kitchen or, you know, something small, or clear off your kitchen counters or something like that. It's a really just a nice way to prepare yourself for Easter. All right. The next idea I want to share with you for Holy Week, the small idea, the little something, and this might end up feeling like a big something, is to let go of something. Now, we talked about fasting. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about letting go of something you're holding on to, whether it's a grudge, like you're holding on to unforgiveness in a situation with somebody, or if this is a big one, if you're holding on to a mistake that you made, something you are brooding over, let it go. This is the opportunity to let it go. If you're going to confession, you know, bring that to confession if you need to, and then let it go. So often we'll go to confession, we'll confess the sin, and then we're still holding on to it. Right? Like it's our precious, right? Or we're still holding on. We'll tell somebody we forgive them, but we're still like in our minds thinking about that thing, like, you know, going over that situation in our minds that was so unfair, and that thing that person said or did or whatever. Like, let it go. During Holy Week is a beautiful time to reflect on Jesus's sacrifice as he hung bleeding, dying on the cross. He said the words, "It is finished." And I find it is so important for us to reflect on those words. It is finished. What did he mean? He meant it was done. He had suffered all for the forgiveness of sins. He wiped it out. He wiped it out. And that means that the people who have sinned against you, that you're tempted to hold a grudge against, it is finished. Jesus said it is finished. He did it for them. And for those things that you've done wrong and mistakes you've made, even just little ways that you've messed up in relationships or at work or whatever, that we're tempted to hold on to and to beat ourselves up for, he said it is finished. Let it go. Listen to those powerful words of our Lord. Those last words, it is finished. He said it. Who are we to contradict him? Who are we to come in and say, oh no, it is not finished because I still need to hold a grudge against so-and-so, or, oh no, Lord, it is not finished because I can't forgive myself for this thing or that thing. Don't contradict Jesus as he hangs dying on the cross during Holy Week. When he says it is finished, it is finished. Okay. So let go of something. What's coming to mind as I'm talking about this? That's the thing you need to let go of. Okay. No getting out of it. Whatever it is you're thinking of as I'm talking about this, you need to let go of it. So do that this week. Holy Week is a beautiful time to let go of something. All right. Next little idea I want to share with you is to find some quiet. Now, this is something I've encouraged you to do all through Lent. Actually, all through the year, we all could use more quiet in our lives. This is such a countercultural thing to have quiet in our lives. But your Holy Week is going to be enriched the more you can have it be still and be quiet. You might do this by going to adoration. If you generally don't go to adoration, or maybe you do and you're going to spend some extra time in adoration, that's a beautiful way to find quiet. I find that time in adoration is like the antidote to the world. Like I can be running 100 miles an hour, doing so many things, stressed about many things, worried about many things, and I get into that church and close the door and sit in the pew, and it's like a big exhale. Like, I'm not allowed to bring all that stuff in there. You know, like it doesn't belong in there. This place is outside of time. It is still and it is quiet. So that's a beautiful way that you can insert some more quiet into your days during Holy Week is to get to adoration. Your parish might offer it, you know, after Mass on Holy Thursday. Many times, you know, sort of like a keeping vigil going into Good Friday. Many parishes will offer something like that. But if you don't have that, then, you know, you could look for quiet in your days by not having so much noise. Like maybe you typically listen to podcasts or listen to the radio during certain times of your day. Maybe this isn't going to be the week you do that. Or maybe you usually watch television. Maybe you're not going to. Maybe you're going to have some quiet. Or maybe you just tend to be the talker. Maybe you tend to be the conversation person. Maybe you chat with everybody. This is part of your personality. It's part of what you do. You fill the void of quiet in rooms, in places, in your home, in your family, in your work. Maybe this isn't going to be the week you do that. Maybe this is going to be the week you keep quiet, keep still as much as you can. Of course, you know, we're not monks. We can't walk around not speaking on a perpetual silent retreat. But maybe this is going to be your week that you keep quiet. And especially, I've shared this before, there's a beautiful kind of traditional practice of keeping absolute silence during the hours of 12 and 3 on Good Friday. And we started doing this a few years back with our family. And I was really impressed by the way it changed our home. So, you know, that's when Jesus was hanging on the cross. Traditionally, it's understood. So on Good Friday between 12 p.m. and 3 p.m., so it's an appropriate time to just keep quiet in your home and maybe do a little, maybe you're still going to go about your business and maybe you still have work to do or whatever, but just, you know, not having the television on, not using devices, not scrolling through your phone, not talking with one another. So typically it's a day off here, Good Friday, for the most part. I'm actually not sure if it is for our local school this year. And I've got a son who's taking a couple of classes. But anyway, regardless of that, if you find yourself at home, this is what I found years ago when we started doing this, was we were home with like a few different kids and just decided during 12 and 3, we're not going to be talking with one another. And it really changed the whole feel of the house. It felt much more prayerful. You know, I put out some different books for people to read or some, you know, holy cards or rosaries and some Stations of the Cross and that kind of thing to encourage people to spend the time doing that. But there was such a stillness and a quiet in the house that it was palpable. And what a very simple way to observe Good Friday. And yet I think very appropriate and a way that can encourage your prayer life on Good Friday, but also your family. So consider doing something like that. Find a way to have more quiet in your Holy Week, but most especially on Good Friday. It's very appropriate to look for ways to be still and to be quiet on Good Friday. Okay, next to last little idea for your Holy Week is to do the Stations of the Cross, pray the Stations of the Cross. This might not be something that you're all that familiar with, but many parishes offer it on Fridays during Lent. Many offer it on a Good Friday, Stations of the Cross. Look for a way to participate in that. And if nothing else, you can do it at home. So there, it really is a prayer that you're supposed to like physically be moving from one station to the next. And there are 14 stations taking you through Jesus's passion and death. And it's just a beautiful prayer and a beautiful way to kind of embrace that story of Jesus's suffering on Good Friday. But you don't have to just do it on Good Friday. You could do it other times during Holy Week, of course. But since there's this physical aspect of it, I've done this in the past where we prayed it at home and I just printed up images of the different Stations of the Cross and put them like throughout our dining room. And we just walked from one station to the other praying the prayers. Now, there are multiple, you can Google and find multiple different versions of the Stations of the Cross and different prayers. There are some more famous ones than others. I found one by St. John Paul II years ago, and I really loved that one. I'll try to look it up and I'll link it in the show notes if I can find it. But just there's so many different versions. You can find one that you love. And they're really, you know, it's very simple and short. You know, it's not a great big long thing. If you do it at your parish, there might be music involved. It might be more of a lengthy thing, but it's a very simple devotion to, you know, the passion and death of our Lord. And Holy Week is a really appropriate time to do that and to introduce that devotion to your family. So If you have little kids, you can teach them this. If you have older kids, you can invite them to participate in it with you. Or if it's just you and your husband, or maybe among friends, you want to attend the Stations of the Cross together. Just look for ways to really embrace that devotion. I think that Holy Week is a beautiful time to do that, especially on Good Friday. But, you know, you might do it each day of Holy Week. Add it to your daily prayers. Like I said, it's a very simple prayer process, but really reaps such beautiful spiritual benefits, especially during Holy Week when we are focused as a church on Jesus's passion and death. So just kind of walking through that prayer practice. And there are indulgences associated with praying the Stations of the Cross, I think during Lent, I think especially during Holy Week. Anyway, I can't tell you the details of that. But if you're interested in that kind of thing, definitely Google that, because that might motivate you as well to pray the Stations of the Cross during Holy Week this year. All right, my last idea for Holy Week that I want to share with you, and this is one that I shared in last year. I shared some ideas for Holy Week, and this is one that I included there that I got a lot of feedback from, which is doing something tangible. So this might be a recipe. It might be a craft. It might be, you know, maybe you're not the kind of person who ever does crafts, right? Maybe you're not one of those people who, like, you know, does the liturgical baking or whatnot, but look for a way that you can do something tangible in your home, in your family, in your observance of, you know, the season of Holy Week during this week. And that might be at mealtimes. Maybe you're going to bake bread. I always found that, you know, so baking pretzels is actually a traditional Lenten practice. And pretzels, actually, the way that they're crossed is supposed to look like arms crossed in prayer. So it actually is a prayer snack, if you want to look at it that way, but it's also a very simple snack and something that you might consider an easy, okay, super easy to make pretzels. In fact, I'm going to make a note to myself right here, because I'm going to share a pretzel recipe in the show notes over at ascensionpress.com, because that's a very simple recipe, but it's kind of nice to do something that's different, right? And so maybe on Good Friday, maybe during your fast, you know, you're going to bake bread for your fast. That's a nice traditional thing to do, but you might make pretzels or some other simple kind of vegetable soup or something along those lines during Holy Week. But so recipes are one way you can do something tangible. But then, you know, there's the whole idea of crafts. And so many of us are like, oh, I can't do the crafts. But maybe there's something you can do. So many people do amazing things with palms on Palm Sunday. Have you seen this? Like, I am not that person. Like, I cannot make my palm into anything else. I just tuck it behind the crucifix the way that it is. In fact, last year, we were visiting my son and daughter-in-law down in Charlotte on Palm Sunday. And so I got this beautiful palm there. Like, at our church, we always would get the palm that's like one big long, it's pretty long kind of palm strand. I don't know if they're officially called strands, branch, I don't know, leaf. Anyway, but this was like a smaller one that had many coming off of it. It was especially pretty. And I packed it very carefully in my suitcase coming back, because I wanted to have it to put behind my crucifix. And it made the trip, and it's still there. So now I'm contemplating a trip to Charlotte to go back and get that special palm. Anyway, but maybe something with the palms, or maybe something for Palm Sunday, you know, some sort of a craft or something. You may not have little kids in your life, but there are different ways of, like, decorating eggs and that sort of thing that people do during Holy Week that you might find meaningful. I just find that it's nice to kind of set apart these liturgical seasons by the stuff that we make and the stuff that we do and the ways that we eat and the meals that we share. Our everyday routines should be different. So whether that means you're doing an activity at your kitchen table in the afternoon with kids of all ages, or if it's just you quietly working on a sewing craft or something along those lines, or a painting or something along those lines, or if it's trying a different recipe, I think that it's just really important to just do something a little bit different. And we women we're good at these sort of things, right? Like, even if you're not naturally a crafty person, there's something that you do, right? There's something that you can do and create in your home, in your life, that's going to kind of set the season apart. So if you have ideas for some of those ways, I would love to hear them from you. I guess it'll be too late to share this year, but I would love to hear from you, you know, next week and the week after, some of those little tangible things, those tangible ways that you've done something, whether it's a craft or a recipe or some other activity that kind of helped you to observe Holy Week this year. Because there are a lot, there's so many ideas out there. And if you're not naturally a crafty person, you might just reject all of them, right? And think like, that's not me. That's not something I enjoy. That's not something I'm good at. But there might be something little, something small that you could do. And it would actually be very meaningful for you during the Holy Week this year. So those are my 8 little ideas to share. If you have some ideas, like I said, I would love to hear them from you this week, next week, all through the Easter season. You can send them to me. You can email me danielle@daniellebean.com or connect with me on social media. My username is Danielle Bean on pretty much every form of social media, so you can find me there. Also, I love to connect with people on Voxer. If that's an app that you like to use, it's a fun little app for kind of just sharing voicemails with one another. I would love to hear from you on Voxer. The link to connect with me on Voxer is in the show notes over at ascensionpress.com. And final reminder, if you are not subscribed to the show notes for the Girlfriends Podcast, an easy way to do that, make sure you get all of those links and the link to Voxer and all of the recipes and other ideas that we're sharing here is to text the word girlfriends to 33777. Super simple to do. And boom, we're connected. I would love for us to be able to stay in touch that way. So again, the word girlfriends to 33777. All right, we've got a little more of the show coming up for you, but first we're going to take a quick break. I'm Danielle Bean, and you are listening to the Girlfriends Podcast.
Hi, my name is Father Mike Schmitz. I am the host of the Catechism in a Year podcast. If you've been following along with us, you know that God's plan for us is a plan of sheer goodness, that He wants to bring us into a relationship with Him. You know that already. One of the ways that God actually brings us into this relationship and keeps us, sustains us in this relationship is through the sacraments. Again, you might know that already. You might further know that so many of us miss out on the beauty and the power of the sacraments. But Ascension has an answer to this. Ascension has created 2 new programs. One is called Renewed, Your Journey Towards First Reconciliation. The second is Received, Your Journey Towards First Holy Communion. We know that our youth, they're our future. And yet at the same time, it's so hard oftentimes to reach them with this incredible news of God's love for them in reconciliation, God's love for them in the Eucharist. If you want to check out Ascension's new program, Renewed, Your Journey Towards First Reconciliation, and Received, Your Journey Towards First Communion, go to ascensionpress.com and sign up for a free preview.
Welcome back. Now, I often share some listener feedback here, but this week, with it being Holy Week, I just thought I would share a prayer that I happened upon that I really liked. I found it online at mycatholic.life. I'm not familiar with this website, but I found it as I was kind of Googling around with different plans and thoughts for Holy Week. And I just want to share this prayer, and I thought maybe we can pray it here together, and maybe you're going to want to pray it this Holy Week, on Good Friday especially. It's actually a prayer that is written especially for Good Friday, but I like its simplicity, so I thought we could end today's podcast by praying here together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My most glorious and suffering Lord, it is your hour. It is the hour by which you conquered sin and death. It is the hour for which you came into this world, taking on flesh so as to offer your precious life for the salvation of the world. May I be with you, dear Lord, in these moments of suffering and death. May I, like your mother, John, and Mary Magdalene, stand at the foot of the cross, gazing upon the perfect gift of love. My suffering Lord, may I see in your cross the most perfect act ever known in this world. May I see love in its most pure form. May my eyes and soul look beyond the blood and pain and see your divine heart, pouring forth mercy upon me and upon the whole world. Today I kneel in silent adoration of you, my God. I sit quietly, beholding the great mystery of our faith. I behold God beaten, bruised, mocked, tortured, and killed. But in this act, I see all grace and mercy flowing from your wounded heart. Bathe the world in your mercy, dear Lord. Cover us with your grace and draw us to new life through your death. I love you, dear Lord. I love you with all my heart. Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I am wishing you and praying for you to have a blessed and grace-filled Holy Week with your family. Take care and God bless you. Girlfriends is a collaboration between DanielleBean.com and Ascension, the leader in Catholic faith formation.